All right, Matthew 5:17. If you're there, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, it says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And that's where we took that verse and we looked at how the Bible and how the Lord has fulfilled His promises, the prophecies that were coming. And now we're going to turn the page again here. We'll get back into Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount here, Matthew 5 through Matthew 7, when we're done with these three verses here. But the next verse, verse 18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And we're going to look now at the preservation of God's Word, how He's preserved it for us, how we can know that what we have today is the Word of God. I'm not going to go into, great detail on this, because I believe we'll hit this when we look at our King James Bible conference we're going to have in November. But I do want us to just very quickly look at this topic here of Bible preservation, the preservation of God's Word. So can we know if we have the words of God today? Do we have them today? And if so, where are they? And you might think, of course we have the Word of God today. I mean, don't we? Where is it? Well, let me ask you this then. Why are there over 300 English translations of the Bible? Because here's what they say. Here's what the critics of this say. They always say, well, you know, a better, more accurate translation is this. Well, I don't understand why they don't get together then and figure out all the better, more accurate translations and just give us a perfect Bible. Because here's what the fact of the matter is. I know why they don't. Because they don't believe a perfect Bible exists. They don't. And I'll read you some of their statements of faith from some churches here in Albuquerque. And I just did a general search, and we'll talk about that here in a bit when I get to it. But they don't believe the perfect Bible exists. Okay? I do. And I've spoken with preachers about it that, you know, I told them, I said, I can put in your hands the perfect Word of God. Can you put one in my hands? And they were just kind of like, well, no. I mean, I'll give you a King James Bible, and I believe it's the perfect Word of God without error, and I'll put it in your hands. Can you do that for me? And they, no, they can't. The reason why they can't is because they say, oh, well, it was perfect in the originals. Well, that sounds good. I agree with that. It was perfect in the originals. Right? It's the Word of God, right? It's perfect in the originals. There's a problem with that, though. Has anybody here seen the originals? Touch the originals. And we'll look at this stuff here. But do you think that what King David, what he read when he read Moses, Genesis, do you think he had the original that Moses wrote? No. Did he have scriptures? Did he have the Bible? Did he have the Word of God? That's preservation. See, but they don't believe that it could be perfect except in the original, the one the author actually wrote down. You know, Moses was writing down. Paul was writing down. You know, Mark was writing down. He said those are the only perfect ones. So can we know if we have God's Word today? That question implies, one, that the Scriptures are from God. Okay, because we're asking, can we have the Word of God today, the words of God today? So it implies, one, are the Scriptures from God? And also, and almost more importantly for us today, is that God is capable of and has kept His Word for us. It implies that God is capable of and has kept His Word for us. Can He do that? Is God powerful enough to keep His Word for us? I mean, because I've heard a lot of these preachers that wouldn't agree with this, and they would disagree with me on that the King James Bible is the perfect Word of God. I've heard them say, well, God can do anything except keep His Word, right? They would say, oh, God can do absolutely anything. He's just not powerful enough to give us His Word in English. So what do you believe? Do you believe God can do anything? I mean, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything impossible for Him with God? Nothing shall be impossible. Isn't that what the Bible says? Does this include nothing? Keeping His Word, giving us a perfect Bible today? Inspiration is the teaching that the Scriptures come from God and are without error in anything they teach. Okay, that's inspiration. The Bible naturally assumes this for itself because it's God's word. I mean, it doesn't start off defending that it's truth. It just starts off with, in the beginning, God. Genesis chapter 1. It just, here it is. It also starts off with the assumption that God exists. It doesn't start defending the fact that God is real. It just says, in the beginning, God. And here I'm going to lay it out for you. He created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. It's the assumption is there that God existed, that the Bible's inspired by God. In the beginning, God. This is truth. It's just coming straight at you. By the way, what we just finished looking at, that series we went through and looking at prophecy and fulfilled prophecy, was one of the proofs of inspiration. That's probably the greatest proof of inspiration in the Bible, is fulfilled prophecy. Because you can't predict something in the future unless you already know the future. That's the only way you can do that. And God's the only one that knows the future. God knows what's going to happen, and He can tell us in exact detail when it's going to happen. He can get so detailed that He can tell us the exact time that Christ is going to come. Which He did. He did that, His triumphal entry. He told us when it was going to happen. You look in the book of Daniel. Talking about Daniel's 70th weeks, the 69 weeks, weeks of years. I mean, He told us when it was going to happen, and that's exactly when it happened. God can do that because God knows the future, the beginning from the end. That's proof of divine inspiration of the Bible, that the Bible is from God, that God gave it to us. Preservation, on the other hand, is the teaching that God has perfectly kept His words for us without error. God's going to preserve it. By the way, doesn't God preserve us as well? Right, He preserves us. That's how we can even have a home in heaven. He keeps us. Right, John 10, 28 through 30 talks about He keeps us in His hand. Right, He preserves us. Well, He can preserve His word as well. And that's exactly what preservation teaches, and it's found throughout the whole Bible. The preservation of God's word. So if both inspiration and preservation are true, then the question before us is, where is this perfect Bible? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, before I was talked out of having a perfect Bible, I mean, even I'm talking even before I was saved, just as a lost person, I believed, man, the Bible's the Word of God, it's perfect. I just believe that. I don't know that anyone necessarily told me that. I just, oh, it's God's Word, it's perfect. I had to be talked out of it first. I had to have doubt thrown on it. That it didn't exist. But if inspiration's true, if preservation's true, then wouldn't it make sense that there's at least one perfect Bible on earth today? It would make sense to me. Now Jesus, we're here in Matthew chapter 5. He's speaking in what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, which is essentially a course on discipleship. And at the beginning of this sermon, He thinks it's important to mention the preservation of His word. He said so, verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." It's going to be preserved. It'll be kept. It's not going to pass. For a disciple, the Bible should be of utmost importance, and if we don't have the words of God, then how can we truly be the disciple God wants us to be? So we have to have that. It should be of utmost importance to any disciple. Let's pray real quick and then we'll go on with this. Father, we love You, Lord. Thank You. I pray that You'd help me to teach this and preach this in Your power, under Your leading, God. And I pray You'd help us to just trust Your word by faith, accept what it says. You've given it to us by many infallible proofs, Lord. We can trust it. It's trustworthy. We've seen that as we looked at prophecy being fulfilled before us. Everything You said that was going to happen is happening. Or has happened already. And Lord, just help us to go forward confidently, knowing we have Your words in our hand, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, turn to John 8:31, if you would, please. John chapter 8 and verse 31. I'd recommend everybody memorizing this verse. To me, in a nutshell, this is God defining discipleship for us, what it means to be a disciple, is John 8:31. Now, there's more to it than just this, but if you were to just get this, then You could say, yep, that's discipleship right there. Because this verse will encompass everything else that entails being a disciple. But what we're looking at here is how important, how paramount the Word of God is to being a disciple. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed. So to even be a disciple, we have to continue in His Word. Well, if you look at Matthew 4:4, go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. So Jesus said we need His Word to be His disciples because we have to continue in it. So we need to know what it is so we can continue in it. Matthew 4:4, this is when Jesus is being tempted by the devil. The devil tells Him, if Thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And here's what Jesus said. Now remember, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, so I imagine He's pretty hungry. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did He say, now it's important we look at this, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did He say, but by most words that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, or did He say every word? The majority of words. Half of the words. No, He said every word. Jesus said, you need every word. Every word. And that's what God has promised to preserve for us, is His words. He promised to preserve His words. Jesus said we need every word. Not most of them, not the majority of them, not the thought, because the way that many of the translators translate the Bible is known as dynamic equivalency, and it's basically we're just going to get the thought across instead of just like a word-for-word translation. And you could get into all the detail of that, but that's essentially what you want is a word-for-word translation. And I know going from one language to another, you can't perfectly do it word-for-word, but we're not trying to translate the thought. Okay, we want every word of God. And Jesus said you need every word of God. Every word. You can't live without it. We need every word. So as a disciple, even more, if we're to be His disciples, then we have to continue in His Word. So where is it? The question we have to ask ourselves is, where is the Word of God? And you might think that's not a big deal. You know, we can pick out all these different things from all these different versions, and other people have said that. Well, you can find every doctrine in the Bible in all these other versions. Yeah, but it's weakened, it's watered down, it's taken away, and doubt is thrown on the Word of God. And there's contradictions in the Word of God, which I showed us a month or so ago in Sunday school, that how there's contradictions in the Bible. Not this one. So I shouldn't have said the Bible, but in false translations of the Bible, there's contradictions. Accepting the Bible as inspired and preserved must be taken from a position of faith. Jack Mormon in Forever Settled stated simply regarding the doctrine of preservation of Scripture, here's what he said. A far better principle is given in Romans 14:23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If I cannot by faith take the Bible in my hand and say, this is the preserved Word of God, then it's sin. If we do not approach the study of how we got our Bible from the standpoint of faith, then it is sin. If I cannot believe what God says about the preservation of His Word, then I cannot believe what He says about its inspiration either. All is sin. Why? Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And here's what most of these Bible critics do. And when I say these Bible critics, I mean most of the, probably, I've never heard a Bible teacher on the radio that doesn't cast doubt on the Word of God, that doesn't say a better translation would be this. I have yet to hear one that doesn't say that on the radio here in this city. Okay, I'm sure they're out there. I know they are. But on the radio in this city, I have not yet heard one that doesn't throw doubt and say, oh, in the Greek, it should be this. The Greek says this, so it should really say this. And most often, the Bible they always go after is the King James Bible. Always. So I have yet to not hear anyone do that. But I'll say this at the same time. Almost all those same people that will cast doubt on the preservation of God's Word, they will all hold to the inspiration of God's Word. And they'll say, oh, it was given by inspiration. God gave it to us. And they say, we accept the Bibles. I'll read you some of their statements of faith of some of the churches here in this area. But they'll say, you know, God gave us His Scriptures, and we hold to the Scriptures, the 66 books, and you know, as they were given in the original languages, in the original autographs, actually. As they were given in the original autographs, meaning the one that Paul sat down and wrote, or had his secretary write it down. He had people writing for him. He dictated to him. The term they use is, I can't even say it, an amanuensis or something like that is what it was. It just meant basically someone to dictate what he was saying. So they'll believe an inspiration like that. That's the word of God, but not in preservation. So they reject him. But as this man saying, if I cannot believe what God says about the preservation of his word, then I cannot believe what he says about its inspiration either. All is sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So what does Hebrews 11:6 say? Anybody know? It says something about faith. Hebrews 11 will be the faith chapter. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? Anybody? But without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him without faith. So whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God says if we come to him and it's not in faith, it's sin. That's pretty serious, isn't it, man? Ouch, that just added more sin to my list. Right? If we don't do something in faith, it's sin. Well, that's what God says. So when we accept the inspiration of the scriptures, we should also accept the preservation if that's what the Bible teaches. If the Bible teaches preservation. So what does the Bible say about its preservation? Well, let's start with, what does God say he's going to preserve? God promises he's going to preserve his words. His words. Go to Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. Here, this is another passage I'd encourage everyone here to memorize. Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. And if you say, I'm not good at memorizing, I'm telling you, I taught a kid's class from 3-year-olds to like 8, 9-year-olds, and all of them in that class memorized it. All of them. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. They all memorized it. So you can memorize this. All right. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. So what are we talking about? What is the topic there? The what? The words of the Lord, right? So we'd say the Bible, the scriptures, the words, though. Okay? They're purified 7 times. Verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. What does God say he's going to keep? His words. He says he's going to keep his words. He says they'll be preserved from this generation forever. Now go to Matthew 24, 35. Matthew 24, 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words shall not pass away. Not my word, but my words, plural. Because here's what some people are going to argue, or they're going to say, well, you know, it's just talking about Jesus. Jesus is the word. Okay, but that's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about Jesus, it's talking about the actual words of Scripture right here, what we're looking at. The words, my words shall not pass away. And by the way, without the words of God, they wouldn't even know that Jesus was the Word. Okay? You have to have the words of God to know that he is the Word, because that's what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, if it's just that, then we could go with what the Jehovah's Witnesses do, and they say the Word was a God. Can't we just do that then? Or do we need every word of God? We are warned all throughout the Bible 3 times. I believe it's Deuteronomy, Proverbs, Revelation. There's a warning not to add to or take away from the Word of God. beginning, middle, and end. We're warned not to do that, not to add or take away from it. Now, let me say, most of the time, what most of the new translations are going to do is they're going to take away. For instance, the NIV has taken over 64,000 words out of the Bible. 64,000 words out of the Bible. Okay? Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So who would take them out? We have to ask ourselves that question. All right. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 119:160. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Revelation 22:18-19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. God's serious about his word. And he promised he's going to keep it for us. The promise God gives over and over is to preserve his words. Not his thoughts, not his ideas, but his words. That's what he's going to preserve for us, is his words. The words are very important to God because he says we need everyone to live, as we saw in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He says we need every word. So my question to you is, where is it then? Where can we find that? You have to ask yourself this question. You know, obviously, what I believe because I've mentioned it so much. And maybe you know what you believe, and this can just help solidify it for you. But I hope so. I hope you know where the Word of God is found. So let me ask you this. Can copies of copies of copies of copies be the very words of God? Well, I hope so. Can we find biblical proof of that, though? Is there any biblical evidence that that's the case? Or is it just the originals are the words of God? Nothing else is. Because I promise you right now, the most popular and the biggest churches in this city, in this country, believe that it's just in the originals. I promise you. That's what they believe. And if they'd show me their doctrinal statement, I could prove it to you. Now, there's something I found when I started researching some doctrinal statements now. It used to be you could go to most churches' websites and you'd find a full list of their doctrinal statement. Now, many of them, what I found out in just doing this research for this now, I looked at this probably, I don't know, about 5 years ago maybe, and I could find just doctrinal statement after doctrinal statement. Doctrinal statement is, here's what we believe, okay? And they'd list it out. We believe this about the Bible. We believe this about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about salvation, about sin, about man. It would just list it. Here's what we believe. Here's what we believe. That way people looking, they could know, okay, here's where this church stands. Now, they've gotten very general now, and they're taking so much of that off. Why? Well, for one, they don't want to be offensive, I believe, is probably the biggest reason. They don't want to offend anybody. But what they've done is they've watered it down so much that you're like, okay, that it'll just be like a general statement, like, well, we believe the Word of God to be, 100% truth. But they don't tell you what they believe the Word of God is. So I can go ahead and grab a, New Living Translation, or a New World Translation, I'm sorry. That's the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible. I can grab that, and that's acceptable, right? Now, most of the Christians, okay, that don't believe like we do and wouldn't believe in preservation, but they just believe in inspiration in the originals only, they'd all be against the New World Translation, though. Oh, that's a corruption of the Word of God. That one is. But none of these other, 200 and something odd translations are. Those ones are okay. So could copies of copies be the very words of God? Let's see what the Bible says about it. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. All right, who wrote 2 Timothy? Somebody help me out. Paul, that's right. Who did he write it to? Timothy, there we go. That one's an easy one right there, right? He wrote it to Timothy, so he's writing to Timothy. This is what's known as the pastoral epistles, okay? You got 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are the pastoral epistles. He's kind of, it's Paul and God really giving to us, you know, here's what's expected of a pastor. Here's how you're going to run a church. It's that type of stuff. That's why they're called the pastoral epistles, okay? So 2 Timothy 3:15, he tells Timothy this. He says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy what? Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, I never saw this till someone showed it to me, but this is important right here. Paul tells Timothy something very important. Now, you're not going to find many people that would say, at least Christians, you shouldn't find any born-again person that says 2 Timothy is not Scripture. Is that right? It's not the Word of God? Or they'd say, this is Scripture. Okay, here's what this Scripture says. They'd say, this is inspired. You know, this is God-given. And that from a child, Timothy, is what he's saying, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, what's he talking about when he says the Holy Scriptures? What's Paul talking about right here? What would Scriptures be to Timothy? What's that? The Old Testament. That's what he's talking about, is the Old Testament. So the Scriptures he's talking about would be the Old Testament. So he tells Timothy this. So by the way, the Old Testament can lead you to salvation in Christ. Okay? That's pretty important right there, but that's another topic anyway. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So he's talking about the Old Testament, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now what does he call the Old Testament right here? He says it's holy what? Holy Scriptures. So he calls them Scriptures. So that's the Bible, right? The Word of God. Would we accept that? We're okay with that? Now, let me ask you this. Did Timothy have the original autographs? Does anyone honestly believe that a half Jew, half Greek, living in the time of Christ, had the original autographs written by Moses? Or by Samuel, or by Joshua, or by any of the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Do any of us believe he honestly had those originals? No, of course not. What did he have? Copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. And Paul called those copies that he had Holy Scripture. That's preservation right there. That's preservation right there. God said he'd do it. Paul called it Scripture. All those copies of copies. The next argument they're going to throw out, and we'll deal with all this more in our King James Bible conference, but the next thing that they're going to throw out is they're going to say, well, you can't have an inspired translation. Where does the Bible say you can't have an inspired translation? Because, I mean, we'd say the King James Bible is inspired Word of God. So, well, inspiration means it's God-given. And we could look more at the meaning of inspiration. But they'd say, you can't have an inspired translation. Well, what do you have any time the New Testament, which was written in Greek, is quoting the Old Testament? What do you have? Any time it quotes the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, New Testament's written in Greek, what do you have? You have an inspired what? Translation. Anytime you quote the New Testament's quoting the Old Testament, you have an inspired translation. So biblically, yes, you can have an inspired translation. So what Timothy had was Scripture. Paul said so, and he did not have the original autograph. So that right there is going to destroy every one of those statements of faith. They said, oh, we believe it's only in the original autographs. Well, the Bible disagrees with you, I'm sorry. That's not the only bit of Scripture that there is, that God promised to preserve His Word. Again, it goes back to, we got to accept this by faith. By faith we accept these things. Is God able to preserve His Word or not? then why are we going to take the word of a preacher over what the Bible says? Because we got to decide, what's our final authority? What are we going to go back to? What's the standard? What do we measure everything by? Is it the word of God, or is it what some... My favorite preacher said this, though. My favorite preacher doesn't agree with what Pastor Pineda's saying. So, I like him better, and he's had more experience. He's been preaching for longer. But if what I'm saying is what the Bible says, then who cares what either one of us says? What does God say about it? That's the stand we have to come to. What does the Word of God say? So can copies of copies be the very words of God? Here's some various churches' statements of faith from here in this city. We believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God. Amen. Anybody disagree with that? I agree with that. So do I. I believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God, fully inspired without error. I agree with that. Yes, I believe they're without error. Here's what it goes on to say. They're fully inspired without error in their original manuscripts. Uh-oh. Go to Genesis 3 with me if you would. We got a devil in the mix. We're fooling ourselves if we think the devil's not going to get his hand in this as well, in the Word of God, because that's what will make a difference for a believer, for a lost person. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So he's going to want to corrupt it. You know how many people there are out there that say, well, what's the Word of God? How do we even know we have the Bible? Men wrote it, and there's 300 different English translations, if not more by now. And say they all say something different. How can you say that's the Word of God when they're all different? You argue that one. You go stand before someone and tell them, well, how do you defend that? That's not easy to do. I'm glad I don't have to. I'll just tell them, I don't believe any of those. I believe here, the Bible I have right here, that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. Those are corruptions. That's easy for me. But if you believe in all these different versions, have fun with that one when you're really dealing with someone that's sincere about this and they're being swayed away from God because of that. How are you going to defend that? Okay, so here's Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, so what does the serpent say, which we know is the devil? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Did God really say that? He questions and throws doubt on the word of God. Yea, hath God said. You sure about that, Eve? Is that what God said? You might want to check again. I don't know about that. More subtle than any beast of the field. And he's still alive and well today, still deceiving people, still using the same methods. I'm telling you, nothing the devil does has changed. He doesn't change anything. He's still doing it the same way. He still uses the same tactics, still questions the Word of God, still throws doubt on it. You don't believe it. That's why Sunday mornings I'm teaching on evolution. Because he's still throwing doubt on the Word of God. That's what all that comes back to. You can't trust the Word of God. It's not believable. Right here we see Genesis chapter 3, the very beginning. Yea, hath God said. And what do we got in this statement of faith? Hey, we believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the Word of God, fully inspired, without error, in their original manuscripts. That's a yea, hath God said. Because I guarantee the church, and I'll tell you what church it is, but I guarantee the church and the pastor of that church and the people that are going there, not one of them has ever touched the original manuscripts. I'll guarantee you one more than that. Nobody alive today has ever touched the original manuscripts. What about the original manuscript of the Ten Commandments? Only one person touched that. And what happened to it? It was destroyed. Wrote another one. But this time God didn't write it, Moses did. It wasn't with God's finger. Moses wrote the second one. But oh, they're fully inspired without error in their original manuscripts. How do you know? Have you seen it? How do they know? Goes on to say, and are the infallible rule of faith and practice. Well, how can they be your rule of faith and practice if you've never even seen it? How can you stand here and say, I got a perfect Bible I've never seen, never touched, never read. And that's my rule of faith and practice. That's what I live by. But you've never seen it. you've never seen it. How can that be your rule of faith? That's like starting a new sport and saying, we don't have a rule book, but we live by that rule book. It's invisible. We live by it, though. This is how we play this game. Oh, well, how do you score? Well, it's in that rule book. We believe it. Can you show me? Well, no, it's invisible. What? That doesn't make any sense. But this is what churches are teaching. In practicality, that's what they're teaching. It's in the original languages. We've never seen it. Haven't touched it. That was Calvary of Albuquerque. That's what they believe. Next one. Hoffmantown believes that the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, which consist of 66 books, are divinely inspired by God. Amen. I agree too. Hoffmantown believes that the scriptures in their original writings were without error. So what are they saying? Yea, hath God said, hey, anything written today, there's errors in it. You can't trust it. Only in the original they're without error. But today they got errors. Sorry, God. You're just not strong enough to keep your word. Isn't that what they just said? That's how I take it. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. For you, we teach the kids that song. But it's a lie because he can't keep his word. Kids, stop singing that song. It's not true. God can do anything but keep his word. So he's not that strong. He's not that mighty. He's pretty strong. He's pretty mighty. There's a lot of things he can do. There's one thing he can't do. He can't keep his word. We can't have it today. You say, they're not saying that, preacher. Then tell me what they're saying. That's exactly what they're saying. You can't have the word of God today. It's the Old and New Testaments or scriptures and their original writings were without error. But not today. We can't have anything without error. We don't have the original writings. They've never seen them, never touched them, guaranteed. Accordingly, the scriptures stand alone as Hoffmantown's source for doctrine and teaching. All this is taken off their websites. The first one I gave you is from calvaryabq.org, what we believe. This one's from Hoffmantownchurch.org, about us, our beliefs. You can go look when you get home if you don't believe. I've got the website information right here. If you want to go look it up, you can. What are they telling us? Well, God's not that big. This is from Family Worship Center. Here's the majority of what I found out there looking for these. It didn't used to be this way. Here's what they say. We believe that the Bible is God's word. It is accurate, authoritative, and applicable to our everyday lives. I believe that too. So do I. Where is the Bible? Because you walk into the Christian bookstore and you've got, 50 versions to choose from on the shelf. So which one is the word of God? Which one do we go to? Which one's authoritative? Well, I guarantee, just based on this, and I know, and I've studied this stuff out, so I know they believe the same thing as these others in the original languages. In the original autographs. Only in the original autographs, the ones that Paul wrote, that Moses wrote, that one. All right, here's another one. We believe that the scriptures comprised of 66 books contain the only written revelation given by the Holy Spirit to human authors. The Word of God is free from errors. Amen, right? Amen. It's free from errors. I agree. But they didn't stop right there. In the original manuscripts that they've never seen, never touched, never read, and I guarantee they don't know Greek. Even if they did. A lot of these pastors, anyway, that you hear, spouting off on the Greek says this and the Greek that. You know what they got here? I'll tell you right now. What the average pastor gets in Bible college or his Bible training, he gets at most 2 years of Greek. At the most, 2 years of Greek. That's it. Anybody learning a language efficiently, effectively in 2 years? And by the way, a dead language? Greek is a dead language. Is anybody going to learn a language effectively to translate from one language to another in 2 years? No, I guarantee you not. What do they teach them? They teach them enough to question and pervert and change the word of God and sound smart doing it. My pastor knows Greek. He has such insights from the Greek. I could fool all of you and give you some insights from the Greek just by going to a concordance and looking up some of the Greek definitions that they put in those concordances. And I guarantee I could make myself sound really smart by just saying, this word was translated like this, but it should really be this way. This is really how you should say, and this gives a deeper, richer meaning. And I can make it sound real good. Except God gave us his word perfect. And I don't need to. I define words for us to help us understand it, but we do that with the English. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a problem with casting doubt on the word of God. They don't even believe we have it. That's why I say, you get to these people, you ever talk with one of them, you're going to see their whole demeanor change, by the way. If you believe like this and you start talking with somebody about this, their whole demeanor will change. And facts will be like gone, okay? It's like a political debate sometimes. Just forget the facts. Throw the facts out of the window. I'm just going off raw emotion here and what I feel. And that you're going to get the same thing in regards to this when you start dealing with people. You're going to start bringing up, well, the Bible says this over here. Look here, look here. Like, I don't care. I think this. Blah, blah. I'm telling you, that's what you're going to get. So just be prepared for it. That's what you'll get. Stop giving me facts. I say I believe the Bible and it's my rule of faith, but it's not really when it disagrees with what I already believe. That's why I tell us all the time, we all of us need to be willing to be corrected by the Bible. Every one of us needs to be willing to be corrected by the Bible. I have been wrong. You have been wrong. And you realize that, and the Word of God has shown you. Just be willing to be corrected by the Bible. Don't have a I'm better than you mentality because I believe this and I believe more right than you do. I think we're right. Amen. I wouldn't believe this if I didn't think I was right. But I can back up what I believe with the Bible. I can take people to verses in the Bible and show them why I believe what I believe. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 is one of them. Matthew 4, 4, Matthew 24, 35. There's a ton of verses that I can take them to and say, God promised he'd preserve it. Where is it? Where is it? So you run into some of these people and they believe like this, that, oh, in the originals. Just tell them. Just throw this at them. Hey, can you put the perfect word of God in my hand right now? Go ahead, get it. I'll wait a month for you to order it and get it for me. I'll pay for it. If you could put the perfect word of God in my hand. Can you do that? Ask them. In sincerity. Sincerely. And you're going to see them him and haw and he and because they're not going to know what to say. Why? Because they can't do it. And by the way, that goes for the pastors too. They can't do it. I've talked with them. I said, put the perfect word of God in my hand. He was just like, well. I said, well, here, I can do it for you. And I grabbed this Bible right here. I said, there you go. It's right there. They can't do it because they don't believe it exists. Because they got a wee little God. What do you serve? Is your God strong and mighty, or is he little, weak, anemic? All right, this last one I was reading, it said, the Word of God is free from errors in the original manuscripts, constituting the only infallible and sufficient rule for life and godliness. They said, hey, though in the original manuscripts, this is the only infallible and sufficient rule for life and godliness. That's Desert Springs Church. It's the only infallible, sufficient rule for life and godliness. It's a good thing we can't get a hold of that thing or we might have to live according to it. Right? Because we can't touch it. You see how this is going to throw doubt on people? So I can't really trust the Bible because this one for sure is not perfect. None of the ones we have are perfect. So can I and should I build my life on it? Yea, hath God said. Sure about that, Eve? They'll take out thousands of verses. If they can do that with those other verses, how do I know John 3:16 is trustworthy? How do I know Romans 10:13 is trustworthy? If they can do that, how do I know God really loved the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Can I really know that? I mean, if I can't trust it, how do I know? This is taken from, that was Desert Springs Church. This one here, this next quote is, or statement of faith from their website, is northchurchabq.com. So North Church. Under the heading, the Bible, it says, we believe the Bible, the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, to be the verbally inspired word of God, his revelation to mankind of his character and plan, the final authority for faith and life. Amen. I agree with all of that. I agree with every bit of that. So it's the final authority for faith and life. Inerrant, that means without error. Yea, hath God said in the original writings, which we can't see, can't touch, never read. Don't know how to read Greek anyway. Don't know how to read Hebrew. But we know those are the ones. And I would agree, the originals are. They're perfect, without error. I would agree. But we don't have them. Inerrant in the original writings, infallible, and God-breathed. So, you have to ask yourself, is God able to keep His word for us? And if so, where is it? And am I willing to believe what He says about it, about His own preservation of His word? And if so, will I build my life on that? The fact that He's fulfilled prophecy is proof of His inspiration of the Bible, of the truth of the Bible. But where is that perfect Bible? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, we need every word. So where is it? I will stand here and say that it's in the King James Bible. That's my position. You have to decide what you believe, and there's reasons why. That's why we're having this conference coming up in November to go through this more in depth. And just as we go through our church life, you'll get more and more tidbits of this. I'll teach on it more and more. But I want to really ground us in it, and that's why we're having this conference. But I hope that this can be a blessing and a help to you, and you'll know what you believe and why you believe it. Because if you know why you believe it and you know what you believe, then you'll stand against the attacks from other people. And you know what? It's not always that you may have the best answer for them, but you're going to say, no, I go back, I rest on the word of God. God promised to preserve His word. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's inspiration. Verse 7 says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That's preservation. God promised to keep them, to preserve them. So where are they? If I need them to live, where are they?